You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
And welcome to the William Hill Racing Podcast. Alex Dunn and Lord John Budden on the latest edition, looking ahead to Monday's action after another jam-packed weekend of top-quality racing. This is the thing with the jump season, John. It just keeps coming and coming.
All the time, isn't it? You know, and for once, the idea of Cheltenham being the only thing talked about at Christmas time has not been the case. And weekend after weekend, there have been tremendously exciting and high quality racing.
And we've got a whole host still to come, of course, over the festive period. So make sure you tune in to William Hill Racing Radio for all of the action live. As for Saturday's racing, we saw I wouldn't say a vintage renewal of the Caspian Caviar Gold Cup. I don't think anything yesterday could be described as vintage because of the weather. It was one of those things where it was what could cope best with the conditions. In a lot of tracks yesterday. As for the feature race, if you like, Frodon is just the most likeable horse. I don't think you could find many people who dislike him. Dislike Bryony Frost on him. They're a match made in heaven, aren't they?
No, it was absolutely marvellous a result, really. Oh, you're dead right about the weather. I mean, they were kept waiting for around about 4 minutes or so before the start, too, which I don't think did a number of the runners a lot of good. But it didn't worry Frodon. He's not very big, but he jumps those fences at Cheltenham, you know, like the proverbial stag. Mm. Every time Bryony asked him to go, he did. He occasionally put in a short one, but you could see the intelligence of him. As he jumps those fences is something to marvel at. And he more or less finished the winning chances of Baron Alco. I know Baron Alco did make a nasty mistake towards the end of the race, but I think he was under pressure at the time. Frodon's having none of it. And Bryony Frost is a marvel, you know. She's been a tremendous advertisement to jump racing over this season particularly. Such a lovely, cheerful girl. And, you know, she interviews tremendously well. And my goodness, she can see a stride for chasers. And she rode Frodon tremendously. I was, of course, a loyalty man. I went for Guitar Pete.
Who ran well?
Very well. He was, I think, one of the few horses who were slightly taken aback by the delay at the start. He was very much more prominent early on than normally Guitar Pete was. But he then lost his place, as he generally does halfway through his races. But he finished really strongly, got into the frame. And so well done to Guitar Pete, not disgraced in third place.
Hmm. As for other racing yesterday, we saw Brain Power bounce back to the kind of form that has seen a lot of people talk about him in glowing terms in the past. I must confess, I'm not his biggest fan, but you couldn't help but be impressed with what he did yesterday in a race that a lot of people will pick holes in the form of. It was a race that on paper looked like it was either going to be, well, it looked like it would have been a good race a couple of years ago, to be honest, with a few of them. But you can't deny that Brain Power was impressive.
Absolutely. And of course, I don't know how many years ago it was now, probably about 3 years ago, I thought he was going to win the champion hurdle at that one stage. And then he dropped out rather disappointingly in that really top grade and had a go over fences. He's never really jumped the fences particularly well. And Michael Buckley, I think, was determined to persuade Nicky Henderson to bring him back over the smaller obstacles. And as you say, he jumped really well, and he simply put the field to pieces inside the last half mile. People say that this meeting, which we've just had at Cheltenham, is often a fixture which produces a lot of hints towards the festival. And I would have thought Brain Power had a definite chance, if he's entered, of winning one of the handicaps at the festival in March. A disappointment of the race was, of course, Somerville Boy, who's now run two stinkers. And it was sad but inevitable to see that the new one was going to be retired after being, you know, unable to really produce anything like his past sparkle.
I was very pleased to see him pulled up before the last, though.
Yes, absolutely right.
Just as a, right, you don't owe us a single thing. Don't worry about getting over this last one.
He's unlucky not to win a champion hurdle in the past. In fact, 20 races won, you can't expect much more.
No.
Never really took to jumping fences, and it is time, I think, that he was retired. So well done to the Tristan Davises for doing it.
Absolutely. He's been a credit to Connections over the years, and one of my favourites, personally, anyway. He's been an absolute superstar. As for Monday's action, no superstars in action here, John. It's typical Monday fare, I would say. We've got Foss Lass and Plumpton for Jumps fans, and Wolverhampton, a Twilight card coming up there as well.
Yes, indeed, Alex. And I was a little bit pushed to find serious selections. For what you say, the jumping action at both courses is pretty modest. However, I've gone to Foss Lass and to Plumpton, and the first race is Foss Lass at 1.45.
Yeah, it's a Novices Limited Handicap Chase. And a few of these arrive here in fair form. What's the selection going to be?
Well, a couple of them do. But I thought it was between Field des Champs, who is definitely in this race with a squeak. Evan Williams trains Field des Champs and has been lightly raced and stepped up on a promising third first time out to score really pretty decently over course and distance when we last saw, beating Western Sunrise. I did note, though, that Peter Byrne had two runners at the five-day stage in this contest. One of them was Dr. Dunraven, but he has decided to go for the recent Utoxeter winner, Cougar's Gold.
Yes.
Who had been knocking at the door for some time before that win at Utoxeter, but I thought showed really quite a decent turn of foot over the last couple of fences, and still right at the bottom of the handicap. So I'm going to go for Cougar's Gold to score in that 1.45.
Okay, that is at Foss Lass, and as we mentioned, we've got a fancy at Plumpton as well. That one comes up in the 2 o'clock race, which is a handicap chase over the extended 3 mile and a furlong trip, and stamina is going to be the key here, John.
Yes, stamina is going to be the key, because it'll be pretty testing at Plumpton. They've had a lot of rain over the past month, and it was heavy last time out. Going down from the top, Crystal Laird is at the top. I think he's got to improve quite significantly on what he's done over the past season or so. Was ninth when we last saw him. So I've just put a pencil through Crystal Laird. I quite like I See You Well. This horse is trained by Seamus Mullins.
It is indeed.
And Seamus has had a really very good season for him, his sort of type of stable over the past couple of months or so, rattling up the winners. And I thought that the reasonable fifth last time, and I See You Well, could possibly get into contention. Zoe Davidson always needs to be watched when having runners either at Plumpton or Fontwell.
She's got Dylan Zoe in here.
Yes, and it's called Dylan's Hagen.
I think I'm going to go Dylan Zoe. It's one that I always have problems with, but I think that's about right.
Yeah, well, Dylan Zoe won at Stratford and at Toaster, opposite tracks, really, back in the spring, and wasn't disgraced last time out when a fourth at Utoxeter in November. So he's definitely in here with a chance. A little windmill, I think, has got to improve quite considerably on three pulled ups in succession. And a Lunar Flow was also pulled up. So we come to the one which has got a definite chance.
Down at the bottom, the Tin Miner.
Yes, at the bottom it is the Tin Miner. I thought the Tin Miner would win at Plumpton last time out. I had to go out and do the podcast at the crucial moment, and he scored at 20 to 1. And he likes the heavy ground. The Tin Master and Tin Miner, and I think he's got a very decent chance here of giving David Bridgewater a quick follow-up. So, goes on the ground, goes in the distance, in form, the Tin Miner will be my choice.
Okay, the Tin Miner calls for connections of the Giant Bolster, not too long ago, who was a grandson for connections.
Absolutely.
It'd be nice to see the Tin Miner going on to score. Lovely stuff, thank you, John.
Thank you, X.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.